Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Sorry also about the late warning in terms of the topic. But we're going to continue with Onas, sort of, or that actually is part of our core question is, are we actually continuing with the Sugya of Onah? Because the question is, what is the relationship between Onah and Onas Dvarim? Are they really connected, or are they two totally independent things? And what is the nature of the Isser of Onas Dvarim? So without any further ado, the psukim, right, start off with talking about Onah. V'kitim kurum emkar lamitecha, o kanom yad amitecha, al tonu ish et achiv. Right, you cannot, if you're making a sale or buying, you cannot, right, tonu or oppress your fellow, your brother. B'mispar shanim achar hayovel tikneh me'it amitecha, b'mispar shnei tvo'ot nimkar. Right, when you buy karka, then you have to buy it with the amount of years that you're actually going to be able to use it to produce. If you rov hashanim tarbe miknatel, if you ma'at ma'ot hashanim tamit miknatel, ki mispar tivuot hu mocher lach. Right? Which is like, what are you really selling? You're really selling the number of harvests. You're not really selling the land because at Yovel it's going to go back. Right? So really you're selling the number of harvests. You have to sell if you the value of those harvests. V'lo tonu ish et amito, and right, you should not oppress your neighbor. V'yoreitam elokecha, ki ani Hashem elokecha. You should not be oppress your fellow, and you should fear God because I am Hashem, your God. So the pasuk here really just comes on the heels of Onas Mamon. Okay, so it's interesting of itself, and that lends itself kind of to two opposite interpretations, right? The pasuk itself you can interpret either as sort of like a chiastic structure, right? Or a klal prado klal. Right? Then kind of gives you sort of like example, like oh karka va'ona, and then it's like in general again, altonu ishita amitao, it's like riboy mir riboy, right? It's in a mecher you can't do ona, by karka it's a little different, but like in general you can't do ona. You can kind of read it as like riboy miyad or klal prado klal or kachtik structure sort of thing, where essentially like it starts and ends with al tonu ishtamito, right? It's all part of this one package of onas mamon, let's say. Or you can read it as, oh, first I told you onas mamon, right? Then there's the din by karka, and then it's a general din of altonu ish et amitel. Okay, so how do we see it? How do we see the relationship between those two? So the Mishnah, when it introduces us to onas mamon, it says kishem shona b'mekach umemkar. Right, all the Mishnayos in the beginning of the parak, right, or in the middle of the parak, let's say, deal with onas mamon, and then after it finished dealing with onas the mamon, it says, oh, kishem she onah b'mekach umemkar, kach onah b'dvarim. Just like there's onah by mekach umemkar, there's also onah by dvarim. Right? It sounds like it's paralleling them, saying like, oh, just like onah applies to a mecher, it also applies to dvarim, right? To how you treat people. Lo yomer lo bekama chifet zed hu ino rotze likach. Don't tell somebody, oh, how much does this cost? And you don't actually want to go buy it. If you're a Baal Tshuva, don't say, oh, do you remember how you used to eat chazer? Right? If you've been given, lo yomar lo zechor maaseh avotecha, sheni amar, v'ger lo tonen v'lo telchatzen. Okay? So it's kind of an eclectic bunch, right? The first case has something to do with a sale, right? The second one and the third one, right, is just general being like nasty and mean. And the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, lo tonu ish et amito, be'onat dvarim hakatuv midaber. Right? The pasuk of lo tonu ish et amito is talking about onas dvarim. Ata omer be'onat dvarim, o eina ela be'onat mamon. Right? Who says it's onas dvarim? Maybe it's really onas mamon. Right? Kishehu omer, v'kitim kerumim karelam mitecha, o kanam yara mitecha, he says, okay, well, right, we already told you that you can't do onas mamon, right? Okay, so really basically like the drasha is there's a pasuk of onas mamon, then there's a pasuk again of onas mamon. Since we already told you onas mamon, it must be now referring to onas dvarim. right? The structure that suggests is this an expansion of the scope, right? There's this idea of onas mamon, and now we're expanding it to also include onas dvar, right? But it's an expansion of the same concept, right? I wouldn't have even made this expansion, except, and right, it's really, it's a double, it's al tonu ishetamit, right? Al tonu ishetachiv, al tonu ishetamito. They're kind of both onas mamon, just since this one already is actually onas mamon, then this one must be telling me something different. Otherwise, what's the point? So this must be including even onas dvar. But it's really that by telling you onas mamon twice, or al tonu twice, the first one's onas mamon, and the second one can't be onas mamon, so we'll expand it to onas dvar. But essentially, onas dvar is an expansion of onas mamon. Right, that's the vibe that's coming out from this drasha and from the Mishnah. Okay, what are the cases that the Gemara brings? Right, all sorts of horrible things happen to him. Like, don't be like Eov's friends and tell him, "Oh, it's because you're bad." Okay, now the next case though is if porters, essentially, right, are trying to buy, or tradesmen are coming to buy tvua from him. Don't tell them, oh, go to Ploni because he sells tvua. But he's not, doesn't actually sell tvua. Don't go window shopping, right, when you don't have money and you're not going to buy. Because you aren't going to buy, the guy's going to get his hopes up, right? And whatever. Right? And onas dvarim is really bad. Fine. So what's interesting about these, right? The first case has nothing to do with any sort of mekach or memka or any sort of financial interaction whatsoever. The second case, right, is about a market interaction, right? And the third case, and then the Yochanan just goes and tells how onas dvarim is even worse than onas mamon, right? Because when you could pay back and when you can't. Okay. The Meiri explains, HaMishnah Shminas V'inyanaba Alidei Gilgal Onav Lo Mi'ikar Kavanas HaPerek. So really this doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in the Perek. The Meiri does this. It's very nice. Like, he just gives you an outline of the Masechta and of the Perek and like what's going to happen and why are these things coming up. So he says, oh, why is this Mishnah here, right? Inyan abali de gilgul ona velo meikar kamaras ha-perek. It's not really part of the main topic of the parak, but since it's comes along, oh, since we're talking about ona, so we talk about ona sdvarim. Elishai de gilgul ona le'inyan hadin nikalyal le'inyan ona sdvarim le'inyan iser. And so just like since we're talking about ona, the guy b'dinei mamanes, so we're talking about now dinei onas dvarim gabe isurim. Hey, Amar Amir Kshim Shish Ona b'mekach u'memkar kachi yishona b'dvarim ratzal omar. What does that kishay mean? She asur lahonos es chaveiro uveligrom lo pseida b'dvarav. Saying there's a type of ona b'dvarim which is going to be pogea him mamoni, right? You're going to cause him to lose money. V'husha Amar lo yomar lo b'kama chivet zeh. Don't ask him how much a certain object it costs. He doesn't want to say, oh, I'm not interested. So instead he says, what you want? That's not worth that much. I don't want it. Yeah, it's probably junk. It looks like a piece of junk. Right? And other people hear him, right? He doesn't want to say, oh, I can't afford that. Or say, oh, I'm not really going to change my mind. So he just says, oh, it's like a piece of junk. I'm not going to pay that. Then the person next to him is like, oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was a good deal. It's pretty junk. All right, I'm not going to be this friar and buy it, right? So you're actually causing him monetary loss. And you're also causing the seller who's wasting his time, right? You're also hurting him because you're wasting his time and you're causing him pain. So he says, really, there are three types of ona. There's onas mamon. There's onas dvarim, which is actually going to be mafsid the other guy mamon, right? Which actually is a form of damage. You're actually damaging him, right? You're just doing it verbally without actually taking his money. And then finally, there's onas dvarim, where it's really just you know, mevaisho bedvarim, and it's not being nice. Vushavrim haya bal tshuva al yom lo zchor maaseh ha'rishonim. So really there are three types, essentially. And like there's kind of like one which is like a bridge in between where it's like onas dvarim, which has like a monetary impact. Because of that, so, you know, we kind of like flip from one to the other. In the Gemara, in the Mishnayos, it's sort of associative flow. But ultimately, it seems like for the Meiri, that the Ikar Hadin is that onas dvarim is something totally separate. Right? Fine. The Rambam, however, says the following. Kol ha-me'anes ager, bein b'mamon, bein b'dvarim, uver b'shlosh alav. Okay, right? Not allowed to oppress a ger. If you do, you're over on three lavin. Which, what are the three lavin? Shenemar v'ger lo tone, zu honas dvarim. V'lo telachatzenu, zu honas mamon. Halamata shekol ha-me'anes ager, uver b'shlosh alavin. Mishum lo tonu ishet amiteo, mishum al tonu ishet achiv, mishum v'ger lo tone. But you just did onas dvarim.
Two types of you over on over onat mamon, even if you don't take money.
Yes. And you're like, wait, what? If I didn't take any money, how is that onat mamon if there's no money involved? Yeah, it's a problem. We're gonna definitely deal with this Rambam, but right, and there's one thing that it definitely tells us, right, which is that onas mamon and onas dvarim are very clearly very, very deeply linked, because there's no other way to even start to explain why the Rambam thinks that you're over on onas mamon when you do onas dvarim without any money involved. Right, the only way to explain that is to say that they're fundamentally connected lavin, right? That really at their root are based in the same thing. And really it's just like maybe they're two different forms of the same ona, but they're both ona, right?
They're different lovings, like they're being counted as separately, so they must be still different. Yeah.
No, there definitely is some difference, right? Or they're applied in different cases, but fundamentally they're about like the same. They're really connected. They're really part of the same concept, right? Just like Bayira Bayimatze are two different lavin, right? But they're very closely related. You can't do one without the other. So.
But it only goes one way. It's that if you do onat dvarim, you're also chayv and onat mamon. But if you do onat mamon, it doesn't necessarily mean you're chayv and onat dvarim.
Correct. Possibly. No. Even though I would have thought the opposite is definitely true.
Yeah.
Right. I would have thought, oh, if you do onas mamon, so not only are you taking his money, you're also not treating him nicely. So like that's also onas dvarim. But to say that onas dvarim is also onas mamon is like you have to say that they're fundamentally related so deeply that you know that there's no that like it just automatically triggers one triggers the other. Yeah, we're gonna get back to how exactly this works because it is very shocking, but. But essentially, right, the Rambam clearly sees them as not like, oh, yeah, we were talking about onas dvarim, mamon. And then there's like interesting cases of onas dvarim, which are a type of onas mamon, which are like kind of the onas mamon because you're causing in hefzid mamon. And then like once we were talking about that, we also decided to talk about onas dvarim, which has nothing to do with onas mamon. And they're just called the same word, but they don't really have anything to do with each other. Right? It's clear now what's going on in the Rambam because they're really fundamentally connected. Okay. So either we have the approach that, oh, onas mamon and onas dvarim are really fundamentally connected. Or you say, no, there's no kasher, right? We're just kind of like, well, once we're talking about one, we just had to talk about the other. And like, because there's some sort of like, they sound the same, they have the same name. You know, they come in the Torah together, yalla, why not? Okay. Let's take a step back. What's going on in onas dvarim, right? What's included in onas dvarim? So Rashi in Vayikra says, right, lo tonu ish et amiteo, kan he's here alona dvarim, shelo yaknit ish et chavero, lo yasienu itza she'ina hogenet lo, lefi darko v'ha'anato shel yo'etz. Be'im tomar mi yodea im nitkavanti l'ra'a, lakach ne'emar v'yareta melokecha, hayodea machshavot yodea, kol davar ha'masur l'lev, in makir ele mi she'ha machshava v'libo, ne'emar bo v'yareta melokecha. Right. God knows why you did it and what you were thinking. So for Rashi, right, the Isser is to give someone advice, well, at least the main example Rashi wants to say is like, oh, it's to give him itzah, advice that's bad for him for your benefit, right? You basically deceive or take advantage of your friend, right, or your neighbor, right, in order to gain some sort of benefit, right? So you're taking advantage of your friend and you're gaining it in order to get a benefit out of it. Okay? Now, the difference between here, let's say, between this and like Lifnei Iver, because part of Lifnei Iver includes this, is that it has to be for Hana'ato Shel Yoetz, okay? So if we're thinking about, let's say, Onas Mamon, it's actually very parallel, right? Onas Mamon is you do a business deal with your friend and you take financial advantage of him, right? You cheat him financially, right? Here is you're taking advantage of him, right, for your benefit. It's, again, you have to get Hana out of it. It's not so clear what the Hana has to be, but essentially you're taking advantage of him, right? So Onas Mamon is taking financial advantage of him in a sale where you're actually overcharging him, right? Here it's some other way of taking advantage of him. Okay, Sfarno, Lotonu, Afilu Bidvarim, even if it's just Dvarim words, Ugnevas Das, Ve'itzot Ra'ot, Afilu Bilti Shum Dvar de Mamona. Right? It's even if you're deceiving him and giving him bad advice, even if the benefit, if it's not for an actual monetary benefit. Okay. But why? Because Kiani Hashem Elokeichem, Elokei HaKoneh, Ve'Elokei HaMocher. Remember, this pasuk is talking about Onas Dvarim, not about Onas Mamon. Right? Except according to the Sfarno, it's still basically talking about the Koneh and the Mocher. Right? Because, right? You can't do Gnevas Das, Ve'Itzot Ra'ot, Afilu, if it's not going to get you actual monetary benefit. There's no Dvar de Mamona. Because I am the god of the Konan, of the Mocher, right? And I am Makbid, I don't want you to take advantage of him, and right, and you know, hurt him, but really take advantage of it. So for the Sfarnu, for Rashi, it sounds like you might have to get Hana out of it, right? It almost sounds like it might have to be monetary Hana. Right, the Sfarno points out it doesn't actually have to be monetary Hana, but again, the idea is that you're taking advantage of this other person, right, for your benefit. Right, it might not be a financial benefit, maybe some other benefit, right? But you have two parties essentially who are doing, so having some sort of interaction, some sort of, there's a Konan, there's a Mocher, and you're taking advantage of him, right? Okay. Onas Mamon is where there's an actual direct financial, right, cheating going on. And Onas Dvarim is where it's more Gnevas Das and Itzos Ros, but not like an actual like dollar sign, deception. Okay. Tag of Yonah's son has an interesting formulation also. Right, we'll just skip to the translation. Lotenu Ishet Chaveiro. Bimilim kashot, v'yareitim lekach ani Hashem, or in their original Aramaic, v'latonun dvar yad chavrei bimilim kashin, v'titcham lekach ana hu Hashem lekach. This already takes us in a very different direction, right? Rashi's whole approach is about you're taking advantage of your new friend, right? You're taking advantage of your fellow man, and you're manipulating him and cheating him and, you know, deceiving him in some way in order to gain some benefit. The Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says, no, it's actually about, right, sticks and stones may break my bones, but on words, I don't know, Astavarim, right? It's about being mean and, like, speaking mean things to somebody. It's not about manipulating and taking advantage of someone. It's about verbally being mean to them, right? That's what the Sefer Chinuch says. So the honos echem Yisrael bidvarim klomar shlo normally Yisrael dvarim shiach ivuhu v'yitzaruhu ve'in bo koach leha'azer mehem. You can't say things that are like causing pain and hurt and he has no way to avoid and like free himself from, that he can't like, you know, defend himself from that. Okay? Same with the Rambam, right? Well, don't embarrass somebody. Don't say hurtful things. Now, again, this is totally different, right? There's this idea of taking advantage of someone, taking advantage of them financially with actual money, or in cases where you're taking advantage of them or hurting them financially verbally. And then there's a wholly different approach which says, no, it's what it sounds like. It's what we all think of as an asparim, which is don't be mean, right? Don't be mean. Don't be nasty. Don't insult people. And the Urim just expands it. Keshim she'ona b'dvarim kach una b'ayin ra she'amar p'nei ra'im she'masur l'alev. Okay? Don't make mean faces at people. If you stick your tongue out, but you don't actually say anything, right? If you frown at them, but you don't actually like, you know, say, I think you're stupid. That also counts as the Urim. The Shaar Tshuva, right, which expands a little bit, who says, Mitzar Kolish. Okay, so actually that's so far so good. All these are essentially about, right, don't be mean to other people. Right? Don't say mean things. Sticks and stones won't break my bones, but words are on us for him. And it's us, and the Urim expands it even beyond that a little bit. Shari Tshuva. Oh, yeah, Rachel.
Oh, I was just wondering for the Chinuch and the one right after it. I don't remember. Rambam. Who it was. Oh, Rambam. Okay, nice. They kind of give a stopping point, meaning like they put a limitation on just saying not negative words. It seems like it has to be really bad. Like either like koach la'azer mehem, or they have to be embarrassed. So I just wondered if like there's more how they define that, I guess. Like, can you, what's embarrassment? What level of embarrassment would they need to make it from us farm?
Interesting question. I know it's hard to like really need a clear definition, I guess, because at the end of the day, like, you don't, or the Pashas, you don't get Malkus or anything. So it's hard to know when you'd like, no one really needs to give you like a clear cut definition because no one needs to do anything about it other than tell you you shouldn't be doing it. But yeah, I think you're right in that like the Chinuch and the Rambam set like a higher bar and maybe the Urim, and definitely we're going to see it in Rabbeinu Yonah. It's clearly, it's like an actual type of like, you know, it's verbal assault. You know, it's an actual one, something where he's actually embarrassed and he, you know, he doesn't have an easy way to deflect these insults, right? It's really hurtful. You know, I think it's, again, a little bit like, you know, how like, is my name or machalik between like, you could be rude to someone, right? You could be drunk and disorderly, sort of like, you know, like, oh, you're like just cursing everybody out in the street sort of thing, but like makes people uncomfortable, but it's not like, oh my gosh, they take it so personally. And then there's like hate speech and there's like, you know, things like that where like that we treat like the actual words as like truly hurtful. And I think there is an important chilek there, like, right? It's like, yachivuhu yachisu v'lo yuchol lamo mepneshiz bayish man. I think that is a high bar that it really is hurtful and it really has an impact on this other person. Right. That being said, like, I don't know if there's a good, easy way to like give a clear definition beyond that, even though I think you're right that that's clearly pointing in that direction.
So, also, just based on what while you're answering, can Bastin in get involved with Onas Tvarim and cause some, like, is there, what's the punishment, I guess? Is
there? Yeah, so we'll get to that soon.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very good question. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. The Shaar Tshuva's bar, let's say, is much lower. Okay. I think. Mitzar kol ish miyisrael. Causing anyone tzar. Afu pishalo nichtav bohon jumeila overblows. Sayshin amar velotonu ishin amto. Amru sinu zechorn lebracha bo nas varma kosim daber. Vuhu mein hatzar vahmatzok. Milashon vechalti as meches tzar. Okay, it's like it causes people tsar and discomfort, And anytime you cause someone pain, the emphasis of the Shari Tshuva is much more generic, I feel. I think Rachel really made a good point, which is like, for the Rambam, for the Chinuch, it's like, people, you're saying things that the person can't escape from, that he can't deny, that he can't just like shrug off, that really is mevayishing. While here, it's like a general azhara, like, oh, you shouldn't cause other people discomfort and pain, right? For the Rambam and the Chinuch, it's clear that like there's malicious intent, right? I think a good example is like, you know, for the Shari Tshuva, maybe you have to like give people trigger warnings, you know? Like mitzar kol ish misra. It's like almost a din of the totsa, right? If someone is offended by what you say, then maybe that's an issue. Again, I don't think he's going to be like the politically correct, you know, speech police, but it sounds like there is some sort of like idea that like it causes people tsar and matzok, it causes people discomfort, and you should be sensitive to that, right? Again, obviously not at the cost of like being able to function as a society and to have civil debate, but like causing people discomfort, you know, especially if it's not, there's no purpose in it, like it's something that you should avoid, and mitzar kol ish misra is a problem, right? For the Rambam, it malicious intent is clearly a definitional part, right? It has to be, have malicious intent. It has to be something that's aimed to hurt, right? You can't do it by accident in the Rambam or the Chinuch. Okay. Samay Chazanesh, Harei Tzarech Li Zaher, you have to be careful. Shalo Ligrom Tzar Lechaveiro B'dibor Kal Af Lerega. Okay, so he says you have to like be careful not to even cause someone else tzar, even like with like a thoughtless comment or like, you know, like even for a second. And if you do it, you're over in the lotase of onas tavar. And that clearly is this idea that it's a din of the totzai, right? Like it's you're going, like it's like very clear. It's like, oh, you know, it doesn't have to have malicious intent. It's totally a din of the totzai. Which so far just gives us three concepts. Let's just skip ahead for a second. We have really three concepts, okay? We have the idea of it being like a din bin mamon, okay? The idea that you're actually, the Meiri brought this up, even though he himself thought like it expands beyond that, is the idea like you're actually causing the guy hefsid mamon, right? You go into the store, you ask how much it is, then you don't want to buy it. Right. So instead of just walking and saying, oh, no, thank you, you say, oh, it's not worth that much. Yeah, it's a piece of junk anyway. And then you cause the other customers to leave. Right. Or more like Rashi's idea, right, in the Sfarna, which is it's taking advantage of somebody else for your own benefit. Right. You could do it. There's onas mamon, where you actually cheat the guy monetarily. But there are lots of other ways of taking advantage of somebody else, right, where you're taking advantage of them. And that's just not okay, right? But you're getting benefit out of it. Okay, so it's not mamon, but it's the same sort of taking advantage of your fellow man. And then we have this idea that it's like a type of assault, a verbal assault. It's a pogea bechaveiro, right? Machivo bedibor inu yachol mihimalei mimenu, right? Fine. And that's like really like something very antagonistic. Right, but again, it's not about mamon anymore. It's not even about taking advantage of your fellow man, right? It's about not six and stones can break my bones and words are an asvar. And finally, we have this last approach, let's say the Chazanish and the Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, where it's kind of like a haftarecha kamocha, right? Shlo legrom tzar and like discomfort. You shouldn't cause like people pain and discomfort when you know, because like you should worry about their well-being and their happiness, and you don't want to cause them discomfort and pain. Oh, step back for 1 second. Look at this Sefer Chasidim. It's hilarious. Okay, I'll read it now. Let's give you guys kind of like looked at it for a second, like, wait a second. Is he saying what I think he says? The answer is yes. Adam, Shahoti Neo Mechotma, someone who picked their nose, Muhu Holechlo, Uba Achevinim Aspo, right? You pick your nose. And then someone else is like grossed out by that. Right? Also, Shahotzi Hania, Yavo Ledin Lefishi Gore Mios Lachavera. Right? You're going to mamish go to Din and Shamayim for picking your nose and causing other people to be grossed out. Viganim Hevi Banav, Obenosav Imo Bebes Chavero. If you bring your kids with you to your friend's house, Vihine Minhag Shayeladim Ktanim Shame Saviv Lachotma Meusim. If you don't wipe your kid's nose before you go to your go out to eat, then you're going to go to Gehenna for not having wiped your kid's nose because you're over on Anas Dvarim, right? Because other people are going to be grossed out by the schnot coming out of your kid's nose. And that's Onas Dvarim because you're causing them pain and disgust, right? It makes them uncomfortable. And therefore, you're going to get punished in Shemayim for that. Aval in ba adam le beisel veroa hal yiladim minimas ein ze nechshal ki mina yiladim kach. He said, but if someone else comes to your house, then you don't have to. Then you're not going to get nenash for it because, like, that's the way kids are, and like whatever, you know. He's coming to your house. You don't have to like worry about that. First of all, what? It's pretty crazy. That's a pretty crazy tzirach chasidim. But clearly, right, this only makes sense according to like the shita, like of Rabbeinu Yonah and of the Chazon Ish, that it's very much a din in like the haftar echel kamocha, that you don't want to cause tsar. It's a din of the totsa, right?
Because you haven't clearly coming from onat dvarim, though.
So I think so. It seems like it is.
Now, couldn't you just say this is a haftar echel kamocha?
I don't think so, because like the level of iser that he applies to it, like, right, shigori mios lechaviro, but after Achla Kamocha, it never says like, oh, like being gori in that like tzara to your friend is like, oh, this huge iser of after Achla Kamocha. After Achla Kamocha is too, it's also just like too vague of an iser of a din to be like, you're going to be nenash, and you're like, you love all the din I love, right? Which is also why, like,
onat dvarim becomes just as vague a din.
What?
I feel like onat dvarim then becomes almost just as vague a din if you expand it so
he
much.
Does accept that it's a real iser, right?
So is the haftalecha kamocha, I guess it's...
No, it's not.
Lav shabami.
Haftalecha kamocha is like, you know, sort of like general, like, rule of like, okay, like, be nice to people. You can throw a million things in it, but it's not, right? I mean, he's basically saying the same thing as Rabbeinu Yonah. He's just taking it to, like, and the Chazon Ish, he's just taking it to the nth degree, right? Right? And then the Chazon is like, oh, Lizar Shalom Ligrom Tsar Lechaviro, even Bedivor Kal Aflurash Lerega, right? And that has a Lotase Midaraisa of Lotonim. Right, mean gorim tsar afilu b'dibur kal l'rega. Right, so if it's about being gorim tsar, right, and it's mitzar kolish miyisrael, doesn't really matter how you do it and why you did it. So the sefer chassidim kind of makes sense, which is like, okay, you grossed your friend out, right? You caused him pain. So if you were like stole from him, if you cheated him monetarily, that'd be onas dvarim, onas mamon. But he didn't, right? Instead, you just caused him pain, right? Grossed him out. Causing him pain, right, is onas dvarim. I think that's, you know, what he's got to be saying. And it kind of makes sense-ish. Wait, where did... Oh, I don't remember I put it in transition. That's very nice. I was like, let's do it again. Nice. I didn't even know that I did that. Okay, so what do we have? We have three approaches, right? We have idea of there being like an actual pigia. It's actually about some real actual pigia of mamon, right? Like mammon gamur, like you actually other people, other customers hear it and he loses money, or you're taking advantage of him, right? You're actually like really giving him advice or taking or tricking him into doing something for your benefit and really taking advantage of him. Or, right, it's this idea of like, no, it's like sticks and stones, but like words can really hurt me. It's like mitzaro machivo. And then there's this third idea, it's like, oh, it's like causing someone else discomfort, causing someone else to be sad, right? The Sefer HaChassidim says like, you can't pick your nose, or like you have to like make sure to blow your kid's nose before you go to, around to other people. There's a question someone asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky about Gezel Shena. If you, right, I don't know, if you make a lot of noise, is that right? And that night, I don't know, you go to shul and you have a whole like shiurim at like 11 o'clock at night, and like, you know, tell me them are coming in and out and like making a lot of noise and stop people from sleeping. So the Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, Gezel Shena is the only problem with the Haftarach HaKamocha. But Rav Bloy, who's the Av Bezdin of the Eid HaCharedis, Yishalayim, says that it's actually usher because of onas dvarim, because you're mitzayer chavira. Right? Now again, that's exactly, I think, this machlokas of, yes, is like a sort of vague general causing tzar to somebody else. Is that part of onas dvarim? Or is that just v'haftarecha kamocha? So Chaim Kanievsky says, no, it's part of like the general like, v'haftarecha kamocha. You shouldn't cause other people tzar. You should try to like, you know, make sure you're not like discomforting people, right? But Rav Bloy says, no, right? Like to say for a Hasidim, I think, that you're any causing someone else's pain is really onas dvarim. So is onas dvarim an actual, you know, actually like taking advantage of somebody else, right? Is it about like the attack, right? Like hateful speech, hurtful speech that really attacks and hurts somebody? Or is it, you know, sort of like part of like the, like of a much more general, like causing other people pain and discomfort. Okay. Which of those three? And those three are very, very distinct. Okay. One of the possible nafkaminas of this is Malkus, right? Is Bezdin going to give you Malkus for having done it? So the Marami Rutenberg actually says, right? Ruven Shetan L'Shimon Onitani B'Dvarim V'Hivi Edim She. Pasha says, you get Malkus, because it's a lav. Why shouldn't you get Malkus? Right? And what's his proof? He says, well, onas mamon, you don't get Malkus because it's nitan lehishavon, right? A lav where you have to pay back money, you don't get Malkus for. Onas dvarim, you don't pay any money back, right? And clearly it's part of the same system. So it's like Gezel. If you steal less than a Shavu Pruta, you don't pay back the less than a Shavu Pruta, but then you get Malkus because you were over in the lav of Olotigzel, right? So same thing here. Onas Mamon is Ona with actual Mamon, so you have to pay back the money. Onas Dvarim is Onas Mamon without the actual Mamon, right? And therefore, you're just going to get Malkus because you don't pay back any money, right? I think clearly the Maharam Nuremberg sees Onas Dvarim as just an extension of Onas Mamon, right? Taking advantage, cheating your friend with money, you have to pay back the money. If there's no money involved, right? You give him bad advice, you know, you take advantage of him in some other way, right? Whatever. So then, okay, so it's still ona, right? It's just ona without the mammon involved, so you can't pay back the money, so you're going to get malchus. If you look at Sefer HaChinuch, though, he says, what do you mean? Of course not, right? There's no Maisa, right? Now, again, this is part of the general idea that fundamentally there's no Maisa because it's not about the Maisa, right? You could possibly over it by Maisa, but it's not really Maisa. But know that there are quite a lot of Malkos without an actual whip that the Rabbono Shalom is going to give you, right? So don't mess And just because, you know, Bez is not going to give you a Malchus, God's going to smite you. I mean, he says it's a Lashem B'maisa, right? Which, when we think about it, like, wait a second, isn't, why isn't a Lashem B'maisa according to the Maharam Nuremberg? And the answer is, right, is that, well, if it's really about a Lav, just like Onas Mamon, and it's about an actual P'ya Mamonit, right, or Nitzul Chavero, so it really is a Lav Sheish B'maisa. It's possible to do it in a way where there's no Maisa, and then maybe you wouldn't get Malchus in those cases, right? But essentially, we hold that any time that the Lav is a proactive Lav, where you're really doing something, right, then in a Hanami, you would get Malchus, right? Unless you don't actually do anything. But Dibur often counts as a Maisa. Okay? So I think it's Gufa, this really ties in. Well, how do you see it? If you see it as like a new thing about being about how you treat your friend, so then there's no real specific Maisa. If you think it's really just like Onas Mamon, it's actually taking advantage of your friend, right? And cheating him and whatever. So then, yeah, just like Onas Mamon, of course there's a Maisa. Maisa is whatever, right? Whatever trick and cheating that you did. Okay, and then you get Malchus because it's really almost like a monetary issue where you don't pay any back any money, so then you just get Malchus. The Chafetz Chaim says, oh, actually, really, it's a Lav Shebeklolos, okay? Because it's Klolos, all sorts of like different things and like about being nice to your friend, essentially, okay? And I think the Mashmas there is, oh, it's like really, they have to, it's a Lav Shebeklolos. It says, like, don't be mean to people, right? Be nice to people. Right, if it's about pogea bechaveiro, right? So then there's no specific maisa, right? Because it's about like what words, right? It's like it don't is you're hurting the guy, but there's no specific part of it that we can pin down on. But if it's really a din in mamon, then you get malchus because you're over on the lav and you're not chayv in tashlumin, so you're over on the lav and not chayv in tashlumin, then you get malchus, right? Okay. Another nafkamina, right? I think Rachel also was asking about this, which is like what can you do about it? So one was Malchus. The other thing is, right, what can you personally do back, right? So the Sefer HaChinuch says the following, Shor Shemitzu Zu Yedua, Ki Yula Teit Shalom Bein HaBriyot, V'Gadol HaShalom Shebo HaBracham V'Tzviya Ba'Olam V'Kashe HaMachloket Kemo Klalot V'Kama Takalot V'Liot. He says, right, we want there to be peace, we want people to get along, we want people to be nice to each other, and we don't want people to attack each other. We don't want them to attack each other physically. We don't want them to attack each other verbally. Ulam lefi hadomeh, ein b'mashmashim, ba Yisrael echad v'hitchil, v'hershia letzair chaveiro b'dvarim haraim, shel ya'anehu ha'shomea. Right? But if someone starts up with you, you're allowed to answer back. She efshar liyot she'adam ke'evan she'en lo hofchim. Right? You can't be, right? You can't be that, oh, person has to be like he's an immovable object. Right, and shtika kehoda, by not answering, it's like you're acknowledging that he's what the mean things he's saying about you are true. Of course, the Torah doesn't want you to turn the other cheek, right, and treat people who are being mean to you and cursing you out the same way as people who are being nice to you. We should distance ourselves from this type of activity and behavior. We should never start, right, fighting with people and insulting people. And by never starting up, right, what's the likelihood that someone's going to start up with you? If you're not, right, a troublemaker, people generally don't start up with you. And if it's like just a lunatic who's starting up with you, so it's a lunatic, you're going to learn. Okay, how do we know this? V'yish lanu l'lmod davar zeh. Shemutai lanu l'anot k'sil l'fi hamot domeh me'asher hitira ha'torah haba b'machteret l'hakdim l'horgo. She'en safek shelo nitchayv ha'adam l'sibol nizakim miyad chaveiro. It says, if someone comes to attack you, no matter what it is, you're allowed to, right? You're allowed to defend yourself. If he comes to attack you verbally, you can defend yourself verbally. If he comes to attack you physically, you can defend yourself physically, right? Ki yesh lo rashot l'natzel miyadot. Right? Says, if he attacks you physically, you can defend yourself physically. If he attacks you verbally, you can defend yourself verbally. Okay, so what migrash are we in? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, of course, we're dealing with the question of, right, of like, it's like nizikin, it's like damaging somebody. If you come to physically attack somebody, right, so onas devarim is verbally attacking somebody and verbally hurting somebody, okay? Okay. There's another explanation of the of which also basically says why you would be allowed to like give back, right, or defend yourself, essentially. But, and it's mefurish in the Gemara, and it's not what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Okay, so it just makes a very, very strong point about like the Sefer HaChinuch really believes what he's saying, because the Gemara actually gives a different answer. Right? He just thinks that this is just so pasha. Right? This is just more convincing even than the Gemara. The Gemara's answer might be true, but this is like a much deeper, more essential answer. Okay, and a more essential point. And that I think really reflects strongly that he really sees this as sticks and stones. I can defend myself with sticks and stones. With words, I can defend myself with words, right? Of course. Right? The Gemara says, "Amar Rechinin Abari Der Avidi, my diksiv velo tonu ish damito, im shi itcha ba Torah mitzvot al tonehu." Right? Someone who is with you in Torah mitzvot, someone who keeps the Torah, that's the person you can't be ma'ane. Right? And that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Right? Yishom ha'in mitzuven al anas devarim elo liyarei Hashem, umi shi me'anes atzmo motzo lahoniyo. Fine. Okay. Lemaisa, right? If you think it's a din of v'haftal reyacha kamocha, so you only have to, v'haftal reyacha kamocha is only for someone who's kamocha, right? Someone who's amitecha, someone who is your fellow, right? Good person. So he's not a good person, so you don't have to love him and treat him well. If it's a din in pogeya, right? So the Sefer HaChinuch doesn't like this answer of the Gemara. Why? Let's say somebody's not itcha ba mitzvot, right? Let's say someone's not like a good Jew. Are you allowed to punch him in the face? Now, that took too long for you guys to answer. I would try that again. Someone's not like a shomer Torah mitzvot. Can you punch him in the face, stam kacha, in the middle of the street for no reason? Exactly. Of course not, right? If you think, like the Sefer HaChinuch, that onas dvarim is actually a form of attacking somebody, right? It's verbal assault. So then the idea that you could just do it to anyone who's not itcha ba mitzvot, right? They can't, right? Because you can't just attack people. So what does he say, right? You can't do that. But if he attacks you, you can always defend yourself, right? Because if someone attacks you in the street, you can punch them in the face. Now, if you thought it was a din in mamon, right? It's a din in nitzul chavero. If someone steals from you, are you allowed to steal from them back? Not really, right? Or sometimes there are like cases where like maybe you can like be goveh, like what he owes you, like in some ways, maybe, right? Of an ishtiel and afshay, maybe in some cases. But bikron, you can't, just because someone stole from you, you can't then go and steal from them, right? That's like not the sort of thing that we generally, right, with continence. So it happens to be that, like, perfect. If it's in mamon, if it's in nitzul chavero, the fact that he's doing it doesn't necessarily mean that you're allowed to do it, right? If it's about being pogeya, so then you need to bring a proof from the fact that if someone attacks you physically, that you can defend yourself and hit them back, right? But you really need to do that because it's not so pashut that if someone is, right, that you can punch, hurt somebody. But if they're attacking you, so we're proving from Babi Machteres that if someone comes to attack you, you can defend yourself, right, with similar means, right? You can fight back. Right, so here you're fighting back verbally. If it's v'haftar echa kamocha, then we don't even need all that. Just say, okay, he's like not a nice guy, and because he is bad guy, he is bad guy, and you can, right, you can treat him as such. Fine. Okay, now we're gonna stop here, but we're just gonna leave it, you guys with a question of what's pshat in the Rambam, right? Because if you think about it, the Rambam was very clear. Okay, you almost go ahead, maybe. Right? Let's put these two Rambams together. The Rambam in Hilchos Mechira said, anytime, even if you do onas devarim, you're over on Isra honas mamon, right? If you're do onas devarim to a ger. Now we said, what? right? That doesn't make sense. How can you be over on Onas Mamon by doing Onas Tvarin, right? Now, what that did tell us was clearly the Rambam connects the two very strongly. Now, if you went in the direction of Nitzul Chaveiro, right, taking advantage and manipulating and cheating your friend, your neighbor, right, then you could say, well, they actually are pretty connected, right? One is cheating him with money involved, and one is cheating him not necessarily with money involved, but in other ways, right? Elama, how does the Rambam explain the nature of the Isra of Onas Dvarim? Not about cheating and taking advantage of your friend, of your neighbor, but right? It's this idea that it's like verbal assault, right? It's a type of attacking somebody. Sticks and stones are like physical nezek, right? And words are verbal nezek. They're verbal pgia. But if so, doesn't that mean that Onas Mamon and Onas Dvarim are like two totally different things, right? So we're going to leave it at that, and we'll pick up next year. With Shitas HaRambam. Yeah, Rachel.
I had a question going back just on, I guess, the logic of the Maharam Nirenberg and saying, okay, if there's no monetary payback, then we go to Malkos. I guess because I'd assume if it was some kind of, I see it almost as a damaging, like you were saying, Hovel, in my head sounds like Nazikin. So usually, I mean, I don't know a lot about this. I'm going to say that going straight off. But yeah, I guess it was just surprised that he went to Malkos.
Well, he goes to Malkos because he says, look, Onas Mamon and Onas Dvarim are really the same, right? The difference is that one of them, you have to pay back the money and one of them you don't, right? Okay, so they're both Lavin. Onas Mamon, you pay back the money. But if you were to take the money out of the equation, then it would go from being on lav shenitan lehi shavon to just being a regular lav, right? And since Onas Dvarim, you don't have to pay back any money, memila, it just is a regular lav and you're going to get Malkus. Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't think so, right? Now, Rabbeinu Tam, I think Gufa, right, that could be a raya that Rabbeinu Tam says, well, maybe, you know, I'm not sure about that because I don't know. I haven't found where Rabbeinu Tam says this. It's just like quoted as having been so far. But again, right, the idea that you can be so far makes a lot of sense. The fact that the Maharam is so like convinced of it, I think is relatively compelling that he sees it more in this like, oh, taking it like, just like there's Nitzul Mamoni in Onas Dvar Mamon. So the same thing, just taking out the money, the same Nitzul is going on in Onas Dvarim, right? And therefore, or at least at its core, again, there it, you know, has certain other expanded cases, but essentially it's the same sort of like taking advantage somehow, right? Manipulating your friend, mm-hmm. or even if it's putting him down, right? To make yourself look better, and it's like it's still a form of like taking advantage of him. But all of that is really Ona just without the Mamon. And since Ona with the Mamon, you don't get Malkus because you paid back, and you don't get Malkus on a lav where you pay back. Mamela, if you're not paying back, so you're just going to get Malkus. Right?
Of course, it's really not Nezikin, it's a lav. If there were lav and then Nezikin, then you would get Malkus.
Right. So I think for the Maram, it's like, it's still in the world of like, it's still in the world of like Dini Mamonis, right? It's just Dini Mamonis where you don't pay back any money. Or it's still in the same ballpark as Onas Mamon, right? Because if they weren't really deeply connected, you couldn't make that comparison.
Is there a general rule where if you don't pay back, you get Malkos?
Mm-hmm. Like by Gezel. Okay. If you steal less than a Sharaputa, you don't pay back, right? Mm. So, but you were over on the lava of Lotigzel, so you get Malkos, right? So he's saying, oh, same thing here, right? It's like doing Onas Mamon with less than a Shavu Prutak, right? Or it's like doing Onas Mamon just without having to pay back. So now you get Malkus. Now, I think that logic really only makes sense if you think that Onas Dvarim is and Onas Mamon are really the same essential concept, right? Because otherwise, that's just not a relevant thing to bring up. You could say, oh, onas dvarim. It's like, it's like being chovel, right? It's like being mazik, but there's no tashlumen, right? Or it's like chovel and it's yesh bo maisa because dibur is considered a maisa sometimes, right? Meaning I could have seen, like, if the Sefer HaChinuch would have said, oh, you know, you're lokev, right? Because the dibur counts as a maisa, I wouldn't have been shocked, right? But of course, like, the default assumption in this case is exactly what the HaChinuch says. It's a lav, it's a big deal, right? But at the end of the day, as much as the Sefer HaChinuch thinks that it's very similar to punching the guy in the face, since there's no physical, since there's no maisa, right? Ain't lokin a lav with nishayi ba maisa. But don't worry, God's going to get you, right? But okay, there's no malchus because there's no maisa. It's a lav shein bo maisa. Okay, it happens, right? There are a lav shein bo maisas. But essentially, the chisaron is that, oh, it's a lav shein bo maisa, right? It's really a lav. What you did is very quantifiably bad, right? But there's a lav shein bo maisa, therefore there's no malchus. Chavetz Chaim, that's lav shein bo klalos, says, oh, because it's like one of these vague, klali things that, like, kind of is more of a value statement almost in some ways than a specific, like, iser. And then you don't get malchus because, like, it's a lav shein bo klalos. It includes, like, a lot of different, like, subcategories and, like, concepts, etc., right? But all that essentially says that we don't really have a clear specific lav. It's like a general lav, which again is like the v'haftar echa kamocha idea. They're like kolel, like a lot of general, you know, general stuff, and it's not really a specific iser, right? So those are three different reasons. Or two reasons why not to get malchus. One reason, but each one's analysis of whether or not you should get malchus implies a very different perspective.
Right. Another question I had for the Rambam is, does he talk about what the punishment would look like? Or he just sort of leaves that out?
I don't think so. But he just leaves it. He's like, it's not a list of things that you get malchus for. So.
Okay, so that answers that.
Great. Yeah, I think what else to say? It's a slav shein bo maisa, right? There's a specific maisa here. Okay, great. So we'll pick up next time with the Rambam and trying to figure that out. Yeah, great.